Susan mentioned, my name is Hawk Matheny, and I serve as the regional director with the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. My job is to oversee the management and protection of the Appalachian National Trail through the five New England states, from Connecticut to Katahdin, including here in New Hampshire. About 160 miles of the AT runs through New Hampshire, entering the state at Hanover, New Hampshire, and continuing north at Shelburne near the town of Gorham. Regardless of the routing that Northern Pass chooses to take for their project, it would have to cross the AT because the alignment of the trail through the state is southwest to northeast, and the alignment for the project is more or less north to south. Just so happens that the developer has chosen as their preferred route to use the existing 115-volt line that runs here through Easton and crosses the Appalachian Trail in the Kinsman Range on the Kinsman Ridge Trail. Most of the AT here in the White Mountain National Forest was laid over existing trails, so the Kinsman Ridge Trail was in place prior to the AT coming through sometime in the 1920s. So you'll hear both names, but it's the same trail. Okay. ATC is a private conservation organization with about 44,000 members, including over 3,000 here in New Hampshire. And we have a series of offices spread along the trail from Georgia to Maine. We work closely with 31 separate trail clubs, our local trail maintaining club here in the White Mountain National Forest. Well, actually, it's the primary partner is the Appalachian Mountain Club, and you heard from Ken. The Dartmouth Outing Club maintains to the south of here, and the Randolph Mountain Club maintains a small portion in the northern Presidential Mountains. Our job at ATC is to oversee the entire effort of managing the trail from Georgia to Maine. With that, we bring a perspective of transmission lines that cross the AT. There's over 100 between Georgia and Maine, varying in scale. This particular project has us concerned for several reasons, most of which have identified by the group here already. The impact at the crossing itself, the viewshed impacts, the forest fragmentation, you know, if the right-of-way were widened, it may not be invasives entering the corridor, et cetera. But our primary concern is the visual impacts. I have to remind people sometime that it is the Appalachian National Scenic Trail. It's not the Appalachian National Hiking Trail. It's not the Appalachian National Recreational Trail. By law, it's the Appalachian National Scenic Trail. And as Ken pointed out, that's a high bar, particularly here on the White Mountain National Forest. The management area for the AT, 8.3, if you want to look at it in that document, is really the next highest standard to wilderness. You know, fortunately, the line doesn't go through wilderness and couldn't. It can cross a National Scenic Trail, but there's some strong criteria that would have to meet in order to do that. Most of Jim described adequately. I wanted to let you know just briefly what our role... just... you're in, Jim. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah. There is... Besides just an introduction here, I just want to let you know what our involvement has been to date and a couple clarifications about the actual crossing here in Easton. We did file as an intervener back in December of 2010. That you can find that on the website. I can also send you a copy of our motion if any of you are interested. We met with leaders of the White Mountain National Forest early in the process back in January of 2011 to discuss this project, what our individual roles were going to be. ATC has delegated responsibility from the National Park Service. It's a very unique arrangement where a private organization is managing essentially public land, a public entity. So we're bound to a degree in that same cooperating agreement that other federal agencies have with DOE. And it's in some ways that was brought even more to bear through the 2005 Energy Act, where it says you know the federal agencies will cooperate in transmission line crossings. So to agree, although we're private, we have to work closely with the forest. I do want to emphasize that. So our overall position will come out of the EIS as it does for the forest. At the same time, we are private, and we can be an advocacy organization, which is why I'm here with you today, mostly to emphasize some of the facts around this project. We did participate in the public scoping meetings that were held throughout the state, both in Lincoln and Haverhill. I see some faces here that were at those events. Good to see you all again. We did submit written comments in June of 2011. Those are also available online if you want to review those. We did meet with the developer just this past summer and expressed our concern, heard some of the updates on the proposal, including the reduction of the tower height here across the forest. And most recently, I met with members of REAL just a couple weeks ago to share information, let everybody know where we were to date and where this group's work has been so far. There is one small detail that we have to work around when we talk about the crossing here in the Kinsman Range. When the AT was co-aligned on the Kinsman Ridge Trail, that portion of the trail was on private land back, again, the 1920s or 1930s. Up until late, until like the 1970s, that was private land. I don't know the exact date. The Bog Pond Tract, maybe some of you have heard of, was a later acquisition by the White Mountain National Forest. And there's one little catch that came with it. Right at the crossing of the AT, the utility has an easement for that crossing. And that was arranged when it was private land. And that easement is still in place. Either side of that is a right-of-way, and that's about the 10-mile expanse across the forest. One fairly recent addition to this whole process was in the 2005 Land and Resource Management Plan. We were effective in having a management area established for the Appalachian National Scenic Trail. Prior to that, one didn't exist on this forest for the AT. It happened to exist in all the other national forests that the trail crosses. What that gives us is actually an even higher level of protection, and that's a half mile either side of the treadway. So the physical trail itself is a mile-wide protected management area. And that half mile comes around the other side of that easement, if that makes sense. So the standards that are described in the Land and Resource Management Plan for the Appalachian National Scenic Trail, we don't necessarily have as much leverage on that easement, which is 225 feet at the trail crossing. But we have that important standard beyond the easement. I hope that makes sense. I don't have a map that depicts that, but I'm still actually trying to figure out exactly where that is because it's sort of an angle that easement is. But we'll get that information available. So that's the particular of that crossing. We have identified other potential crossings for this project. Route 25C, the existing large transmission corridor that's down that way. We did review 25A, which is an early alternative by the developer. That didn't score very high for us. We are open to the cross. If the line were buried and it did cross at I-93, perhaps, it would cross the AT. It would be, you know, under the west branch of the Pemigewasset River where you walk under the parkway right there. And we'd have to go through an EIS on that, too. But regardless, it does have to cross the trail, even if it's at a road. And our policy states as much exactly what some of our criteria are. And I'll just share those with you quickly and then sign off. Now, you heard some language earlier from Jim. And our policy about utility line almost mirrors the language that's in the management plan. And it states, the proposed development represents the only prudent and feasible alternative to meet an overriding public need, as demonstrated in a thorough and detailed analysis of alternatives. Any new impacts associated with the proposed development shall coincide with existing major impacts to the trail experience, roads being our preference. A proposed development of linear facilities transmission lines should be limited to a single crossing of the Appalachian Trail corridor. Any adverse impacts of a proposed development shall be sufficiently mitigated so as to result in no net loss of recreational values or the quality of recreation experience provided by the Appalachian Trail. To the extent practical, mitigation should occur on site. And finally, it just goes into some restrictions of which areas are off the table, and of course wilderness and others would be one of them. I just want to let you know we're fully engaged in this. I have to walk that fine line with our partners, but I have to leave just after 5, so during the question and answer, if you have questions about the AAT, if those might come towards the front, I would appreciate that. Okay, thank you.